everybody, and welcome to the Top Chef Wrap Up podcast. I am very excited to be here this week, even though I believe that my co-hosts, Haley and Kurt, may or may not be dead at this point. Like, it's just been way too long since we've heard from them. And there's a weird smell I've heard coming from Brendan's apartment. So I would just like to know what's going on. Maybe someone here can help me with that. That is the great Brendan Fitzpatrick. Brendan, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. It's great to be back. Don't be concerned about the smell. That's just the emergency cheese that I went out and bought after last week's podcast, because we had that great conversation about cheese. And so I went to the store and I bought two packets of emergency cheese, just little packets of cheese cubes, so that if I need it, I get a little bit of extra cheese.
So there we go. I mean, it's so important. I too bought cheese. We could call it emergency cheese because it's being eaten during a crisis, honestly. I think that cheese episode had an impact on all of us in a very specific way. Absolutely. Which brings us to episode 4 of season 21 of Top Chef, which we are covering. Hello, everybody. I'm LaTanya Sarks. I just realized I didn't say that earlier. I did not get all the feels and all of the inspiration from this week's episode that I did last week's episode. And it's interesting that that's the case, because the architecture that is the focus of this episode is truly magnificent. So yeah. I'm wondering what you think about the episode overall, Brendan.
Yeah, the Frank Lloyd Wright trail and architecture that they showed was all really fascinating and magnificent. And really, like, everyone hoped that it would lead to some really inspiring dishes. And unfortunately, that's not really what we got this week. After such a high of last week, I was really excited for this week, thinking we were going to start, like, being on a roll with the season. And this week sort of just deflated that excitement that we got off of last week. And unfortunately, like, only one team was even worthy enough to be called a winning team or brought into the winner's circle. And, you know, one team right out of the gate was pretty much telegraphed that they were going to be the team going home this week. So this was sort of just like a culminant, like a long drawn out, slow, painful elimination for our team, for Alicia and Kalina. For Alicia and Kalina. And I feel like really bad, because I mean, it just was so obvious that they were not on the same wavelength at all throughout this episode. And it's really unfortunate, because I think that what last week really showed us was the personalities of all these contestants and how fun all of these contestants are. And this week it was a little less fun.
I will say that one of the things to me that makes this episode not as great as ones in, you know, this season or this in previous seasons is that we have a team challenge, and outside of the cook, we get to see very little of the teams interacting with one another. For sure. That's where the gold comes from. I loved all the pair-ups this episode, and I wish that we would have gotten segments with almost all of them sitting in a room together, like talking about things, you know? Like, we got very little of the team part of this team challenge.
Yeah, we got a couple of scenes where they were sitting around one of the Frank Lloyd Wright houses hatching out their ideas, but even then it was just them talking about ingredients that they might want to use and inspiration, but there wasn't a lot of their personalities in those moments. Outside of, like, two of my favorite people, I think, now in Maddie and Kevin, who really shined their personalities this week. I mean, they fully embraced the idea of being a team. They called themselves the Bottom Bros, and they were
they called themselves the Power Bottoms, which is something that I don't think we should ever get wrong on this podcast.
I apologize. Like,
that is one of the best nicknames for a duo in the history of Top Chef. I think there should be monuments made to this duo. I think that they should have their own religion. I'd join.
Absolutely. I think they're fantastic. I absolutely loved everything they were bringing to this episode. They really made the episode worthwhile in what felt like sort of a downer of an episode. They were the bright shining sun, and their dishes were my two favorite dishes of the entire day. Like, I really thought that they had this in the bag when they presented their two dishes. I thought their concept and their execution was fantastic. Yeah. The dynamic was fantastic.
We'll
their
definitely food looked the best, get to all you know? Of that. We will yeah, get yeah, to yeah. that. I'm sure. I just wanted to start off by talking about, like, the episode yeah. in general, what our thoughts are about this one and how it fits into the season.
Absolutely.
Before we get to all of the dishes. They are coming, people. We will be talking about food on this food Absolutely. Podcast. I swear. I was just going to say, for those of us who, you know, like the play-by-play, and I'm one of those people, there was no quick-fire challenge this week. Correct. The chefs were to head to Madison and create their task for the elimination challenge was to create two dishes inspired by creations of Frank Lloyd Wright based on duality. And so I was surprised there was no knife draw, but they said, you know, just like pick your partners. And we got all of the teams. And the teams that we got were Kalina and Alicia, Manny and Kevin, Rossica and Danny, Savannah and Laura, Michelle and Charlie, and Dan and Amanda. So just right off the bat, those are pretty good teams, don't you think? Like, I'm pretty excited about these matchups.
Yeah, I thought all of the teams felt balanced, at least when they chose each other. And I think that that's part of what I like, rather than a random knife draw, was that, you know, you live or die with the person that you chose to be in the kitchen with. You know, but this is something that I thought we could talk about is, like, how do you feel generally about the duo team challenges, especially when it comes down to when it's a double elimination episode, which means both people in a losing team go home,
right?
Even if only one of them really had a bad dish.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not ideal. Obviously. I also think it's really interesting the way that they formatted it. And I didn't mention this earlier, but, you know, Michelle goes into this challenge with immunity. So because it's a team challenge where they're going to be eliminating people by the team itself. So two people are going to, like, a two person team is getting eliminated.
Yeah.
Michelle's elimination extended safety extended over to Charlie. So that was really interesting. Just in terms of how much effort could be put in, you know, when you know that you have immunity, this is kind of like the first time in a duo challenge that we're seeing that come into play.
Yeah.
So what did you think about the mechanics of this challenge all around?
Yeah, I thought that this was really interesting. I liked the idea of the duality thing. Like, I mean, you know, I'm basic, so I started thinking in the same way a lot of our chefs did, of like, okay, surf and turf, sweet and sour, savory and sweet, you know, like the basic dualities of, like, cooking, you know, salty and spicy, you know, those kind of things. But our chefs really, like, some of them really went, like, meta with their concepts in a way that if they had been able to pull it off would have been really neat. And, I mean, Frank Lloyd Wright's architecture is really interesting in that way, where he uses that duality where you see this building with this giant seascape on the outside, and on the inside is, like, stone and wood and immaculate, you know, angular walls, where it's, like, this land and sea variation and dichotomy. A lot of his designs are very, like, straight and angular, and then mixed with these flourishes of design. And I like the idea of building a dish around that dichotomy was really interesting to me, for sure.
I enjoyed the aspect of this that was about low-income housing and Charlie sharing that he grew up in the projects, which really hit different to see on a Top Chef episode, because I also grew up in the projects. So it's just fantastic to see someone be able to work themselves up to such a high position coming from the projects. Anyone can do it.
For sure. In his flashback, he looks so cute in his little suit and tie. It was so cool. It was great. Yeah, I was like, oh, little Charlie. He was great. Yeah.
Yeah. So I will just say, before we start talking about the dishes themselves, I want to talk a little bit about a couple of the key partner dynamics. First of all, I do think that Michelle and Charlie are really adorable together.
They just don't
seem to have any conflict.
And I think that that actually is an example of, like, when your two ideals of cooking mesh a little too well together, mm-hmm. and combined with the fact that they both had immunity, they sort of relaxed and allowed themselves to do something a little weird that they wouldn't have done, but like, were they opposite each other? And they like, just, they sort of were like, well, let's try something since we have immunity. Let's just experiment a little. And unfortunately, it didn't work out for them as often as the case on Top Chef. Like, when a team has immunity like this, they generally end up in the bottom because they get a little overconfident and a little experimental, and it sometimes and it usually doesn't work out. So it usually comes down to that line of, well, it's a good thing you had immunity because you would have been in the bottom. Like,
Dan and Amanda, or Damanda. As they love to call themselves, are the team that I did not know I needed.
Like, just a couple of dorks. I know.
Yes, they're such dorks. I love them so much, and they really work well together in the kitchen. Like, you know, being an older chef, never had been worked with liquid nitrogen before. Amanda shows them how to do it, and it turns out perfectly. It's just really cool to see, like, you know, generations in this case, generations of dorks coming together.
Yeah, I really loved their dynamic, especially when they're in the grocery store and they're trying to find each other, and they're doing that like nerdy howl towards each other, trying to find each other in the store. Uncle Tanya, I thought that maybe we could change our name to Latendon. And we could be the Dan and Amanda of the Top Chef podcast.
You don't think that Bren Tanya makes more sense?
Damn it. I wish I had thought of it. Okay. Bren Tanya also.
That's what you say every time I combine two words.
It works for me.
All right. Let's actually talk about the dishes now. So again, create two dishes inspired by the creations of Frank Lloyd Wright based on duality. And the winning team gets $10,000 from BMW. And the chef with the favorite dish gets immunity for the next challenge. Yep. Very exciting stuff. All right. So we're going to start with Kalina and Alicia. Their concept was land and sea. Yep. And Kalina did a mushroom and goat cheese cheesecake, some sesame tulle, candied mushrooms, and spruce syrup. And Alicia did agua chile with shrimp, cucumber, and lime. Yep. We talked about this a very little bit, but obviously they are on the bottom and end up going home this week. So interesting dish to start out with.
Mushroom cheesecake just doesn't sound right to me to begin with. The idea of a mushroom cheesecake. I mean, I can. Here's something I noticed is pretty much every team incorporated mushrooms into one of their traditions.
That's true.
I'm very curious, did we miss something in the narration about Frank Lloyd Wright that he has this mushroom obsession?
I think that mushrooms are just really a really awesome ingredient. I mean, they are. I get them on everything that that can have mushrooms on them. The reason that I have to like defend this mushroom cheesecake a little bit is because of the fact that it's two of my favorite ingredients. It's cheese, which we all established last week we love. Absolutely. And it's mushrooms. So what if it's just like a buttery quiche kind of thing?
That sounds more like it. Like if you described it that way as a little more of a, made it a little more savory like a quiche than a cheesecake, I think it comes out a little better. And, you know, as Tom said, the breading underneath, like the crumb cake underneath that she tried to use for the cheesecake cake crust, just didn't work whatsoever. It didn't come out. It was so hard. Like, he was making fun of it, calling it like hard tack that you would like give to salt, like salt MRE rations. And you know, that's really bad. It's not great. What I would, I think that if she tried to make it a little more savory, that would make more sense to me as well. But I mean, I'm a fun guy. I like mushrooms. You know?
I'm a fun guy, he says. That is the most ridiculous thing that has been said on this podcast.
What did you want me to say? It
this
was right there. It was
getting
right
canceled right now. Right like, actively, Rob is canceling this podcast.
This is what happens when you allow LaTanya and I to be on a podcast together without a third person, okay?
This is what you get. All right, but, back to the food.
Yeah, Alicia's dish. Here's the hang up. Like, I like the idea behind the shrimp and the sauce and everything, but I have this weird thing, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, but like the sauce just looked so unnatural. Like the neon green sauce that the shrimp were sitting in, I didn't want to eat it. It was like it just didn't look appetizing. And I think that can sometimes affect the judges mentally if something doesn't, if like a liquidy, watery green, neon green soup in the bottom, sauce in the bottom of your dish can, you know, at least subconsciously affect the way you think it tastes.
Yeah. Know? Like you put a Ninja Turtle into a blender.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to Manny and Kevin.
Yeah.
A team that is actually a little too hot to exist.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they both have accents and it's adorable. And
yes. I mean, we should get a whole show just about them, but you know, I'm
here for it, you know.
Manny made chicken and mushroom florae with sauce poulet oven wine. Sure.
looked great.
Yeah. Kevin made warm praline, chocolate mousse, bitter chocolate tulle, and Mexican vanilla ice cream.
Yes, to all of that. Give me all of that dessert. Oh, yeah. It looked fantastic. So it sounded fantastic. I'm here for it. I mean, I try not to eat a lot of chocolate these days, you know, but I would eat the crap out of this. It looks so good. Both of these dishes got, you know, them as a team got my, as I established last week, the Brian Voltaggio Just Sounds Delicious Award. They as a team got my This Just Sounds Delicious Award because they sound delicious and they look delicious. So there you go.
What is Dahl Quesnel?
I am not sure, but I'm here for it. I think Kurt would know if he were here. Maybe he can come back and let us know next week.
Yeah. Well, when we don't know things on this show, we definitely Google them mid-show. Everybody, welcome to what I'm doing right now. Quesnel, as it is pronounced, is a mixture of creamed fish or meat, sometimes combined with breadcrumbs with a light egg binding, formed into egg shape and then cooked.
Oh. Yeah, so it's the stuffing inside of the pasta shell thing you made. That's cool. I'm here for it.
Yeah, that sounds delicious, actually. Yeah. I love butternut squash, and I don't eat nearly enough of it. Like, it's like a butternut squash soup.
My goodness. I love a butternut squash. I love squash so much.
Yes.
We didn't mention it with Kalina and Alicia. Every team has a duality that they presented with their dishes.
Oh, right.
Kalina and Alicia's was land and sea. Manny and Kevin did light and dark, and they pointed at each other because they are light and dark. And in another, just like throwing it out there, adorable moment, like, you know. So there you go. Yeah, I love
they're so cute. Yeah, thank you. I forgot to put those in there. I also love pickled beets. I had a beet salad the other day. I'm not spoiling what I ate because that wasn't going to be on the list. I'm just pointing out what I had.
Yeah, as we mentioned last week, I'm not like a huge beet guy, but I mean, I try it. You know,
And the reason I brought up beets is because now we're talking about the concept of seemingly similar, strikingly different.
It's so wild.
Yeah. Wherein Rossica and Danny are partnered, and Rossica makes Dahl Quesnel, pickled beets, butternut squash, carrot puree, and Rossum.
Yep.
While Danny makes scallop mousse zucchini and green chartreuse.
Yeah, these looked really cool because, like, the way they were presented, they, you know, as their concept went, they looked really, really, like, similar dishes. And then when you cut into them, they're, like, vastly different tasting. So I think that they nailed their concept the best of all these teams. You know, I would definitely, like, they didn't look like anything I had ever really seen before either. Mm-hmm. They sort of looked like multicolored, like, Legos on a plate, but, like, delicious Legos.
Yeah. For Rotica, I wanted to see what the Rossum sauce was, or Rossum sauce. It can be prepared mainly with a tart base known as kokum, Malabar, tamarind, tamarind, vahuli power, dried green mango stock, depending on the region. So it's just a really nice sauce, and I really appreciated Rossica saying that she was able to win this with her grandmother's sauce. And saying that, you know, she was really excited about the ability to bring, I believe it's Tamil cooking to Top Chef.
Yeah, that was so cool. Like, and you could tell, like, Tom especially was really, really impressed with the sauce. And it's one of those things of, like, no, you're not going to get the recipe for my sauce, Tom.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah,
like,
that's
never going to happen.
Ever.
But, yeah, no, it was really impressive. Like, I would love to try both of these dishes. These would be great. And it's, I liked the, Tom said it also, like, the Rossum sauce also had, like, a little bit of a kick to it. And as somebody who's a little bit of a heat seeker, I would have loved to try that as well, just to see the like sudden change in flavor again.
Yeah, Danny's scallop mousse zucchini and green chartreuse sounds amazing as well. Like,
why not?
Just looking at the ingredients in the pot that he was cooking when he had the scallops in there looks so freaking good. And so to make a mousse out of that, like a well constructed mousse. That had to be delicious.
Yeah, I mean, as I said last week, I'm a little wary of mousses, but if you give me something with zucchini, it's gonna hit for me. I love anything that includes zucchini. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Green chartreuse is a liquor.
Yep.
Didn't know that. All right, our next group of two had compression and release. Or comfy and uncomfy. Let me just say something real quick. This is for the people who watched Love is Blind season 6. And I know that may not be you, Brendan.
No, I don't, but I'm here for whatever you're about to say.
Chelsea, one of the people on the show who everyone has described as a stage 5 clinger in a relationship. said to her boyfriend of the time, you're really making me uncomfy. And I guess I get the meaning behind it, but saying uncomfy just makes me want to, like, have a visceral reaction, you know?
It's one of those words.
Yeah. Oh, like, don't call things uncomfy. Just say uncomfortable. You have enough time, I swear. Anyway.
But yeah, right. this is one of the, like, the most outside the box meta concept of any of them that, like, even I was, like, having a hard time really trying to, like, hone in on exactly what they were going for. Like, the initial idea sounded good, where, like, one of the things was going to look unpleasant to eat and one of them would look like comfort food. Right. But then it seemed like when they presented it, they sort of went away from that initial idea. Because that didn't seem to be what was presented. It was more like, this is a food that, like, is uncomfortable to, like, goes down uncomfortably.
So,
and then, yeah.
So, just for reference, the food that Brendan is mentioning from the compression or release team, Savannah and Laura, Savannah makes a dry aged ribeye, mushroom tempura, beet and daikon arashi, and wild pistachio sauce. Yep. Whereas Laura makes phyllo pastry, pistachios, pistachio foam, and raspberry sauce. So obviously makes a dessert.
Yeah, and I'm really bummed this didn't come together because they both sounded really, really good.
They like, did.
I'm a huge pistachio fan, especially yeah. like pistachio in a dessert, like a pistachio ice cream. My jam. I absolutely yes. love it. And especially if you're going to do like a pistachio thing on a steak. Like, yeah, ooh, why not? Yeah. Like, who's turning down a dry aged ribeye? Like, come on.
Yeah.
It just, so,
what's wrong with sounded, you if you do that?
Yeah, it sounded really great. It's just a bummer that neither dish really seemed to come together.
Yes. Very sad all around. And we really didn't get a lot of Savannah and Laura at all.
No, that just them. They were basically the opposite of Alicia and Kalina. I keep forgetting her name. Sorry.
Yeah.
They were sort of the opposite of Alicia and Kalina, where they were just like ho-hum, getting along the entire time, like not much to show, zero drama. They were just like happy to be hanging out in the kitchen with each other.
Right.
Cooking some good food. So there wasn't that much to show. So.
Right. Well, we got what we got. The next team, the immune team, have the concept of the chicken and the egg. And we have Michelle and Charlie on this team. Michelle mm-hmm. made a mushroom biscuit with chicken liver mousse, sous vide chicken, and stewed apples. And I yep. believe she also mentioned something about having like the skin of the chicken crisped and like put on top.
Charlie's had the chicken skin, oh, that... I believe. Yeah, Charlie had the chicken skin oh, okay. on the top with the mushrooms and the peas. Yeah.
Okay. And Charlie had Dijon, egg mousse, chicken skin, pickled mushrooms, and peas.
Yep.
See, I mean, all of those ingredients sound very good to me.
Yeah, and Charlie actually called it a Dijon, which is like, he said it was like based on an old family recipe that his family used to make.
Okay.
And so I thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
this is another one where, like, you know, Tom said with Michelle's dish that, like, while it was supposed to be about the egg, he didn't feel like it was actually an egg dish. So the concept of what they did with the chicken and the egg didn't end up really hatching with the final
product. Oh, God. We have just been nuked off the earth. If you heard a really loud sound just now, that was because Brendan Fitzpatrick made a pun.
Press the numbers.
We were all destroyed as a result of it.
Somebody press the button.
Whew. So I feel like based on what these ingredients are and how these plates of food looked, especially when they finally put the gravy on Michelle's food, that I would go to town with both of these.
Yeah. I mean, they looked really good. Like, it's just a bummer. Again, it seems to be like a concept with something just not being quite up to par,
mm-hmm.
you know, execution-wise. But
I mean, I'm not going to lie. A mushroom biscuit with cheddar liver mousse sounds pretty, mm-hmm. pretty good to me.
Pretty good.
Okay. The next team that we have, their concept is poverty and wealth. And mm-hmm. we have Dan and Amanda, or Demanda, as they enjoy being called. My favorite team, I think, of the decade.
They're fantastic together. I'm here for it.
Yep. Just so good. And, you know, the fact that their strengths and weaknesses complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're both dorks. They have all of these different, you know, like things to call back on. And they're just laughing a lot, which is great for, you know, the kitchen. So Dan made a leek cannoli with a potato mousse, potato tulle pickle, and kombu salad. Sounds so good.
Yep.
Whereas Amanda made angel hair pasta with scallop, caviar, as some people like to say, caviar, kombu oil, and seafood broth. Everyone knows that it's pronounced champagne.
Yeah, champagne. It's
pronounced caviar.
Arugula. Yeah.
And also, it's pronounced souse.
I think it's onion hair, too, right?
Angel. Yeah.
Yeah, Angel hair. where does angel hair rank for you on your pasta rankings, LT? Because for me, it's actually like I know that it gets a lot of shite. Like people trash on angel hair. I love angel hair pasta.
It's maybe my favorite of all the pastas. I mean, other than like lasagna, because I know a lasagna pasta is gonna be coming to me soon. Nice. But like, yeah, I freaking love angel hair, and I feel like everyone is just wrong about everything all the time.
I know, like, listen to us. We are correct. Angel hair pasta is great.
Yes.
I thought that this was the second best team to execute on their concept. I thought that the idea of, like, luxury and poverty were, like, really shown in the style of dishes and the ingredients that they used to compose those dishes.
Right.
So I thought that like, it really made a lot of sense to me, and both, like, looked really good. Good stuff.
The thing that's so funny to me about seafood being a higher like class symbol option of protein is that seafood used to be what poor people ate.
Oh, especially like, scallops and lobster. Are trash things that New Englanders used to scrape.
Yeah.
You know, the reefs of New England for, because it was, and then sell them by the buckets, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are all of our dishes, our teams. This is going to take some time to talk about, I think.
Yeah.
We knew from the beginning that there was a double elimination this challenge.
Yes.
So we knew that there was going to be one team that was going to be going home. Everything about this episode was completely unconventional though. Correct. There was no quick fire. There was no knife draw to determine teams. There was, and then when it came time to judge, the judges all kind of like said, well, we know which one is the best and which one is the worst, right? And then we just didn't get any more talk from the judges about these dishes.
Instead, the contestants got a talking or two too from the judges themselves. So
And then, you know, we don't even get the, like, who they would put as like the second team that did well, or who they would put as the second team that did poorly. We get nothing like that. They just like start murking people. And Kristen comes in and is like, hey, I need to see Kalina and Alicia, and I need to see Rosca and Danny. And it was like, all right, I guess this is happening. I will say real quick that I think that I identify with Rosca so much in the moment where she was like, was there something not good about my dish? Like, she's freaking out and second guessing herself.
Because that's what happens every time.
Yeah.
That's what happens every time. They always pull multiple teams in. I think this is the first time that I can recall them pulling in the winning team and the losing team.
Me too.
At the exact time, other than when they go down to single elimination and they're like, they have everybody stand there in one long line.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, normally it's a, like, you guys stand back, we'll get to you later. And they stay there in the same room. They don't just pull the people out of the stew room who are both top and bottom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's so odd.
Yeah. It was very oddly constructed. And I guess that goes to show that they were, like, how disappointed they felt by what they were presented with, which is interesting because you and I are sitting here talking about, like, for the most part, we would eat like every single one of these things that came across this table, but maybe we're just basic. I don't know.
I mean, it is bad when your episode edit is poorly constructed when you're doing Frank Lloyd Wright. Like,
this is fair. Yeah. And so much time spent on Frank Lloyd Wright. Like, 35 minutes on the Frank Lloyd Wright trail.
They went to three different places.
They did. They did. There was a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright.
I feel like I know a ton about Frank Lloyd Wright. I don't know any more about the contestants than I knew last week.
That's a bummer. Yeah.
And I'm not happy about it. But yeah, I just want to, you know, for us to talk about how things would have looked different if there was one other team chosen for the top and one other team chosen for the bottom. Like, in your heart of hearts, if you have one, you know, the jury's still out on that.
Yeah.
What other team would you have chosen to be on the top.
It's really tough for me because, you know, I loved everything about the idea that Manny and Kevin had, but I think that Dan and Amanda were probably, based on everything, the second best execution of everything. So I think that okay. they probably are second and Manny and Kevin are third, at least for me.
Okay. That yeah. makes total sense.
Yeah.
With
Savannah and Laura probably being the second to the bottom with
yeah.
With Kalina and Alicia. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Michelle and Charlie doing just enough to land like right in the middle. Yeah.
Okay. Those picks all make sense to me, honestly. It's just I wanted to do that exercise to point out how weird it is that we don't have those things to talk about this episode.
Yeah, it is really weird. It gives us a lot less to talk about for sure.
Yeah. Well, then let's talk about something we haven't talked about yet, which are our guest judges.
Yeah.
We got Buddha Lowe, who everyone knows as a winner of Top Chef and then a winner of Top Chef All-Stars. All-Stars.
Yeah, All-Stars.
Yeah.
Came right back and won All-Stars. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It was back-to-back, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was back-to-back or maybe one season in between. I can't
just
recall.
Just wild, yeah. regardless.
Yeah. He's so good, yeah.
And then the other judge was Dominique Prynne. And that's the only way I'm allowed to say it.
Yep.
So I don't make the rules. I don't know a lot about Dominique Prynne, but I do know that she seems cool as hell.
She seemed really cool. And she knew, was it Kevin that she had had a previous working relationship with, or was it Manny? It was one of those two that she had had a previous.
It was Kevin, because okay, she was a guest on Top Chef France.
That's what it was. And they hadn't seen each other in 8 years since he was on Top Chef France. So there you go. Yeah.
So, because they didn't tell us anything about this. As of 2016, she was the only female chef in the United States to attain 3 Michelin stars for her restaurant, Atelier Prynne, in San Francisco. Prynne has also been featured in several Food and Wine network and other television shows. So at least 7. Incredible. If it's several.
Yeah, at least 7.
But yeah, she just, like, not only was she incredibly nice to everyone, but it seemed like when people were making mistakes, she was the most willing to go to bat for the chefs and kind of say, like, you know, here are the ways that I think this could have gone wrong and that's easy to do or something like that.
Right. Yeah, so, I agree. I was really impressed with her. I liked her as a judge. I hope we get to see her on future seasons. I think it's like there's a weird thing when they bring people who are really well known from Food Network to be a guest on Top Chef. Like, they feel like they can't mention like those accomplishments because it's like a rival network thing. Okay. So you get this like vagueness sometimes with some of these guest judges, where you're like, I know that person from some other thing I watched. Why didn't they mention it? And it makes you do exactly what you just did, which is run to Google and look up more about the person, which I guess is a good thing because you're learning more about the person. But they could also like tell us.
Yeah, they could definitely tell us. That would be great. But I think that they just kind of wanted us to go off of the contestants' reactions. They're like, oh, they love her, so maybe she must be someone important.
Exactly.
Instead of just telling us. And it also kind of sucks because she wasn't able to come to judges' table.
Yeah.
It was just Buddha along with the regular judging table. So
I'll take all the Buddha they want to give me.
Me too.
Buddha, but, you know.
I didn't want her to come at the exception of Buddha. I wanted them both to be there. And I feel like we were robbed of that a little bit. And I feel like Dominique Prynne was robbed having this be the episode that she came on Top Chef to do.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it like really felt like an episode where the editors and the judges and the vibe of the episode had already sort of made up its mind from the first 5 minutes when the teams were chosen, which team was going to be the bottom and going home. And so it sort of had this whole air of, let's just get it over with. Unfortunately, which is unfortunate because that's really does a disservice to both the judges, like you talked about with Dominique Prynne and Buddha, but the contestants themselves, when the edit of the show feels like like, why am I watching this when I could, like, turn it and already know who's going home and just read the recap?
We knew who was going home in the first 5 minutes of the episode.
Exactly.
The edit was so clear.
It's unfortunate.
They had never featured those two women that much. Kalina got a little thing last week, but, like, nothing to telegraph her going home in the way that this did, which is they immediately got to do talking heads together on a chair. I believe, and this should have been what let everyone know this wasn't going to go well, is when someone was like talking about Gemini, the word Gemini, or Frank Lloyd Wright was a Gemini, and someone said, "I hate Geminis," and I can't remember who it was. Maybe Kalina went.
Yeah, Kalina was like, "I'm a Gemini," and Alicia's like, "Oh, I mean Gemini men."
Yeah,
and I'm like, and then they had the talking head together where Alicia accidentally like hits her foot as they're on the stool, and Alicia's like, "Sorry, I hit your foot." And Kalina goes, "Don't." Like, they like every interaction, both in the confessionals and in the on screen, just seemed to be friction between the two of them. Like, they weren't gelling together. Their ideas weren't meshing. The idea of Land and Sea should have been really easy.
It should have been. Yeah, it should have been very simple.
Come up with two ideas that work together. But instead, they were like, well, I'm land and I'm sea, and neither the twain shall meet, you know? So it's unfortunate.
Oh. Yeah, it really is. Just not, you know, it's not what you want to see. Mm-hmm. This cast has so many talented chefs.
Absolutely.
And whenever the chefs kind of have an off episode, it's very easy to see that was the case. It's just one of those things where you kind of hope that at least the editing of the episode will be good and tell a story, or the guest judges will stick around longer than normal. Because what we got in terms of judges table was very interesting. First of all, we only had the two teams, Kalina, Alicia in the bottom, and Roska and Danny on top. And then, you know, it's announced who is on the bottom. And it's not even announced really who was on the bottom. It's just Kristen is just like, please pack your knives and go.
Yeah, they didn't even say anything about the dishes, really. They were just like,
no.
Yeah. Kalina and Alicia, please pack your knives and go. And that's it.
That was it.
It's, you know, it. And then, you know, they were gone and they're like, all right, congratulations, Rosica. Danny, Rosica, you win immunity for next week. And that's it. And it's like, all right, now everybody get out of here so that we can have,
Kristen the only one that wins immunity is Rosica, because they said the chef with the favorite dish would get it.
Yeah, they did give it to just Rosica. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they were like, what you said?
And then they were just like, okay, get out of here so that we can have Kristen come in and just lecture the entire group over the credits about how everybody needs to step up their games because this is Top Chef.
I think that it's tough, but fair.
Yeah, no, it was totally fair. Yeah.
It's just really interesting to live in a time watching Top Chef where that needs to happen.
Yeah, and they all seemed to sort of sense it, too, when she came in. They were like, well, this isn't good. Like, what's happening? And she was like, look, y'all, you know, this just didn't, so, as you can probably sense, this didn't go so well today. And she was, like, her firm but awesomely polite self about it, like, which I absolutely love. Like, she was just like, look, y'all, I'm here for you. Yeah. I support you.
We
want you to be here, but you gotta step it up.
Yeah, you're ruining my life right now. It was interesting to have Buddha there for it as well. Because the last person I feel like you'd want to let down is Buddha.
Absolutely.
So it was very smart of them actually to send Buddha to this. It's just also incredibly interesting that this happened at all.
And that they let us see it.
I kind of just want to vamp here a little bit,
please,
because, you know, we've got a little extra time. I'm wondering, just in terms of not so great episodes of Top Chef that you've seen, where this ranks.
This is pretty near the bottom for me from recent seasons that I can recall. I mean, because this felt like such a episode that should have been a really fun vibe that was immediately brought down in the first 10 minutes to be like a not so fun vibe. And that doesn't really, we haven't really had such a negative feeling episode since the early seasons of Top Chef. Like even we've had plenty of boring episodes in the seasons. Like we've had plenty of like weird episodes with like, you know, we've had people who were just out there making nonsense things with seafoam and, you know, liquid nitrogen that didn't make any sense, but at least it brought some entertainment. This was just sort of a bummer stacked on top of a nothing burger of an episode.
Yeah.
And really the only thing that brought lightness to it were the dynamics of the people we talked about with Manny and Kevin and the Dan and Michelle, like, and Charlie. And it's like, there's a lot that they could have leaned into the positive aspects of this episode that we did talk about more, I think, and been and presented us with a little more of an even edit to make this not feel so overweighted by knowing who was going to be eliminated and the, I mean, I don't know about you, but architecture is kind of boring. Like, we could have cut down on the architecture a little bit and just focused a little more on the concepts and the and the teams interacting.
You mean you don't want to look at buildings on your cooking show?
Look, we covered Columbus on the Movie Ladder podcast way back in the day. That was enough architecture for a lifetime.
Like, never doing that again.
Never doing it again. But yeah, so this, I mean, I can't recall being sort of bummed out and feeling like I didn't have that much to say about an episode of Top Chef in probably in like 5 or 6 years. Like, it's been many, many seasons. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been many, many wild seasons. Yeah.
Speaking of things that are wild, Last Chance Kitchen.
Yes. Last Chance Kitchen was very wild.
Yeah. So we got Kalina and Alicia going into Last Chance Kitchen, which is very interesting because normally only one person is coming back from an elimination, but nope, this time there are two people for their assignment, which Tom looked especially giddy to be assigned in this one.
This is so weird. He's like, all right.
Yeah. So they had to choose a plating vessel and compose a dish around it to honor its landscape.
Yep.
Which I'm just like, y'all, seriously, like.
I think Tom watched Columbus too. And was like, let's honor some landscapes and architecture.
It's just like, dude, why? Anyway, you know, he probably didn't think of it. So we have Valentine and we have Kenny watching from the peanut gallery, but they also bring out, they roll out the
thing. They're like so happy to be doing it. They're like posing and pirouetting like it's a freaking game show.
It's so good. It made me so happy.
They're so wonderful together.
Yes, they are. So Kalina chose a ramekin trio. Which is a ramekin that has three different places where you can put food.
Yeah, so they're all connected together. So it's like a three, it's three bowls that are all connected.
Yes. Alicia chose a scallop plate.
Which is basically just like a little plate in the shape of a scallop.
Yes, it's exactly what it sounds like.
Exactly what it sounds like, yeah.
And Sue, who's always a little rascal.
Yep.
Chose a surprise in a box.
Yep. So it was basically like a box with a secret bottom where you could put a second dish underneath the secret bottom of the first dish. So you open the box and there's like a first level. And then you take the thing out of the first level and open the second door. And there's a dish underneath. So it was like a dish on top of a dish.
Would you like to describe that again?
No, I don't.
It feels like you got really into it.
Okay, so you had a, so you have a box, and it has a lid. So you open like this, and there's a little dish right on top. And then you take that dish out.
All
right,
bit
and there's another dish underneath it.
Bit ended. So, yeah, they decide, they're in the Last Chance Kitchen, obviously, and they decide to do a few different things. For Kalina and her ramekin trio, she does three preparations of ribeye. One of them was
a tartare. Like
tartare. One of them was seared medium rare, I believe.
Yep.
And the other was, help me out here.
Oh, the other one was like a little more well done, like with a crispness. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Alicia, who picked up the scallop plate, did agua chile because she wanted to make up for her bad agua chile with cucumber, jicama, avocado, poached shrimp, and cilantro. Now that sounds effing amazing.
And it looked so much better than her first
attempt.
It looked fantastic. I was like, see, this is what, oh, where was this? Yeah.
Yeah. And for, you know, the, for Kalina's dishes, I really didn't know what to expect because three preparations of ribeye could be anything, but all of her dishes looked phenomenal as well.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Then Sue, who had surprise in a box, chose to do surf and turf, lamb loin carpaccio, glazed halibut, and a strawberry bisque. Everyone was expecting that strawberry bisque to be very sweet, and apparently it was not, and there was some spice to it. It sounds so good.
Sounded so good. And he actually reversed it and called it a turf and surf because he put the turf on top and the surf underneath. And yeah, both sounded and looked fantastic. Like, yes.
For sure.
That is a surprise in a box I would like to eat.
So there is only one chef that would be eliminated from this particular Last Chance Kitchen. And unfortunately, that chef was Alicia.
Yeah.
One of our Chicago ladies has been taken off the board. And it happened with agua chile again. So it's very sad to see.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I mean, I really like Alicia. I wish that, you know, I wish she had been able to stick around. But I think that, you know, I think she had clearly the worst execution in the main challenge. So it, you know, I appreciate her attempt to try to do it over again in Last Chance Kitchen. And it does seem like her second attempt at it was very much an improvement on the main course in the main episode. So she has that, but unfortunately it just wasn't enough to overcome these two.
Yeah, for sure. Which is quite sad.
Yeah.
You know, it's Top Chef. You go on there and then, you know, even if you don't win, you still get a ton of different opportunities from it. So
yeah,
I'm sure we will be hearing from Alicia yet again.
I hope so.
So, Fitzy, please tell us something exciting, something delicious.
Something delicious.
What did you eat this week?
The best thing I ate this week, I made last night some pork poblano pepper tacos.
Wow.
And I threw some grilled pineapple in there. I diced up some jalapenos, onions, a little bit of restaurant-style tomato salsa. Stirred that all up in my skillet and threw them on top of some tortillas with some of that good Mexican blend cheese and had awesome tacos while watching Survivor last night. So that was the best thing. Definitely the best thing I ate this week. It's one of my go-to favorite things to do is do tacos for Survivor. But I always end up like, I usually should probably only eat like two of the big tacos.
Right.
But I always end up making three because three is just what fits in.
It's a magic number.
It's what fits on, you know, it fits on the cookie sheet that goes in the oven to warm the tortillas. Mm-hmm. It's just perfect. And so, you know, then I end up like digesting for like the last hour of Survivor because I ate too much taco, but there you go.
It's a white people taco night. Have you heard that song before?
No, I haven't.
So I didn't just make it up. But it's called White People Taco Night. It's from one of the people who does the Try Guys. Not the one that they canceled, but Keith. That's all that you ate? You got nothing else special?
That was the best thing I ate this week, for sure. I don't really have anything else, yeah.
All right. Everything is awful right now. So I decided to treat myself to some things yesterday. I got myself a smoothie with almond milk, like it was a detox smoothie. And it worked. Nice. And it was like really, really, really delicious.
Yeah.
Which I was not expecting. And then I ordered from a Greek restaurant and I got moussaka.
Love moussaka.
Which I've never had before. Something was just like, something was just like, do yourself a favor, get yourself some, get yourself a treat in terms of that. So that's what I did. I also got pasticcio.
Pasticcio.
I don't know what that is. But I got that, and it's delicious as well. And they also had okra, so I got myself some delicious okra.
I am a fried okra freak. Like, I grew up, the town I grew up in was called Okraville, and we had an annual strut where it was a fair, and there was this giant 30-foot inflatable okra man called the okra man. Yeah.
An okraman?
An okraman.
That's really funny.
I love okra.
These were not fried. They were stewed in this really delicious red sauce, but there wasn't any like spice, which is great. Just really, really good okra. And okra is one of my favorite things. Then my sister, because she loves me and knows that I'm not having the best week, she made me food. She made me some greens. With ham hocks and bacon in them. And then she made me some turkey wings. I'm trying to figure out how they were cooked, though. They're kind of like broiled, but like you put tons of onion and green bell pepper on there.
Okay.
And sometimes a little bit of chili seasoning just to like brighten up the dish so it's not too heavy. And you can eat it like it's set by itself, but it's also really good with rice or with, in my case, greens. So I'm very excited that she cooked for me. That was so great. And I'm excited for leftovers as a result of all that.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I'm on the way.
Yeah. You're on your way?
I'm on the way. I'm catching the red eye. I'm on my way to try some of that. I'm catching the red eye.
There is so little of it left that by the time you got here, there would be nothing, and we'd just end up going out to dinner.
I don't know the wrong with that either.
All right. Well, I want to thank you all so much for listening to our Top Chef Season 24, Episode 4 podcast. I believe that Haley and Kurt will be returning next week. So we have to thank Brendan so much for filling in for the last 2 weeks.
You're welcome.
I really, really appreciate you. Brendan also did the spreadsheet that Kurt normally does where he writes down all of the dishes and puts like the challenge on there and color codes it. And it's just fantastic. And Brendan
truly
did it with no problem.
Yeah, truly my pleasure.
So we're just excited that you were here. We're excited to have you continue to listen. And I just want to say thank you for bailing me out.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I'm more than happy to be here. I mean, I've been a longtime listener of the Top Chef or Hap Up ever since the old days when it was Josh and Mike Bloom and Antonio was on that podcast for a little while. Like, so I've been a big fan for a long time. So it was nice to be able to actually come on and talk about one of the shows that I absolutely love in Top Chef and get to talk to you, Latonya, because you're one of my favorite people to podcast with in the world. So there
you go. So nice. Thank you so much. I love podcasting with you as well.
Yeah, people should follow Kurt and Haley on Instagram because that is, if you want to see all the shenanigans they've been getting up to while they've been away from their podcast studios.
Yeah,
it's been quite fun to follow them around. And it'll be really nice to have them back next week, too.
Yes, for sure.
You can follow me on Twitter at FitzyBrendan if you'd like, and on Instagram. And also follow the podcast that I do every week with Zach Brooks, the Movie Ladder Podcast. This week we just released our episode on Quiz Show, the 1994 Best Picture nominee, a movie I absolutely adore.
I love Quiz Show.
Good. So yeah, that's all I've been up to. But I look forward to continuing to follow the podcast and sending feedback and being, you know, yeah.
Do it. We look forward to seeing it. You can follow me on Twitter at LK Starks and on Instagram at Stormborn1222. Yeah. Most recently, I did the 100th episode of the Crime Scene podcast with Mari and Sarah, and it was so great. The documentary that we talked about was called Crime Scene Berlin. Mm. It was about the nightlife killer, and it's got a lot of twists and turns, but it's done in a great way. I don't know if you all have experienced watching Crime Scene, the Cecil Hotel, but yes, this documentary is made by the same people that made that. So it's got a pretty awesome. good, pretty great pedigree. So I was guesting on that podcast, and then I will be on the Recap Kickback coming up here in the next couple days, I think, with Chappelle and Mari talking all about Shirley.
I think that hit the feed last night. That hit the feed last night.
Okay, yeah. Great. So it's out now, talking about Shirley. And then I'll put the link to it on my Twitter as well. So thank you all so much for joining us. We really appreciate you hanging in there with the podcast, even though Haley and Kurt are not here, but they shall return from their Bonnie and Clyde crime spree next week. So you made it. Congratulations. Now pack your freaking knives and go.
Good, everybody. Get out of here.